Jeff's Guitar Clinic is a multifaceted shop offering guitars, amplifiers, and all accessories, guitar lessons for all ages, and instrument repair of the highest quality. Take the scenic drive to beautiful Fort Atkinson and see what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call Jeff's Guitar Clinic today at 920-723-1733. That's Jeff's Guitar Clinic at 920-723-1733. Jeffsguitar.com.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining us now, State Representative Dana Walks. He is a Democrat from Eau Claire and also an attorney, and he is running for the governor of the great, running for governor of the great state of Wisconsin. Dana, you had the Representative Walks. You had the honor of bringing the governor into the assembly chamber for his State of the State address.
Yeah, my leadership asked me to bring him in. I would think he would know where to go by this point, but but I was asked to bring him in. It was an honor, and we got along pretty well. Face-to-face, Governor Walker and I, but we have absolutely nothing in common.
Well, you know, so do I. I've known him for a long time. He called me when my mother died. So on a courtesy level, I don't have any complaints with him on courtesy, but his policies over the last 7 years have been pretty destructive to the state.
Yeah, and I think that voters of Wisconsin are going to remember this. I think that we have a long memory, and I think we're going to remember what he's done to the universities, what he's done to our K-12 programs, what he hasn't done for our highways, what he hasn't done for health care. I mean, this is a governor that turned down $810 million for a high-speed rail system. As we sit here right now, there would have been high-speed rail going to and from Madison from Chicago. That would have been a huge benefit to Wisconsin, and eventually would have gone all the way to Minneapolis. I mean, that literally would have benefited the entire state. But he turned it down. He turned down $60 million for preschool grants, $23 million for high-speed internet, and $1 billion for Medicaid expansion over the last 7 years. I mean, right now, he's fixing to spend $3 billion of state money on this Foxconn experiment, and, you know, with the hope that that will create about 13,000 jobs. Had he just said yes to the Medicaid expansion money, all he had to do is say yes, and that money would have flowed into Wisconsin, would have helped our healthcare system, and functionally, it would have created 8,000 to 10,000 jobs right there. So what is the cost of yes for Scott Walker? You have to ask yourself.
Well,
all he had to do is say yes to that billion, and we would have had 10,000.
For a fraction of that cost, he could be saving paper jobs in the Fox Valley.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, what has he done to save Wisconsin businesses?
Meyer.
We've lost Oscar Meyer. We've lost several paper facilities on the east side of the state. We lost a Polaris plant up in the northwestern part of the state. I mean, what, in fact, has he done to save Wisconsin businesses or create businesses here?
Well, let me play.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to play a clip of the governor talking about his results. Let me just go ahead and finish what you were saying. We're last what?
Well, we're last in the nation in business startups, in new businesses. We're 50th out of 50. You can't get any worse. What if we took, just for sake of comparison, what if we took $3 billion and put it into Wisconsin businesses? You could have 10,000 startup businesses, with each of them having $300,000 to spend on building their business or rescuing their business. You know, that's what he could have done. And those would have been Wisconsin-based businesses with Wisconsin folks running them and starting them. Instead of that, we're investing $3 billion in a massive corporation from another country that, you know, that frankly, that company doesn't need 1 cent. They're a very wealthy company, but we're spending $3 billion for them. It's just ridiculous.
Here is Governor Walker yesterday talking about his results.
The results from those tough decisions helped turn our state around. These results now allow us to invest record amounts into our schools and to other priorities while still making Wisconsin more affordable for the hard-working taxpayers of this state.
You know, here is Robin Voss going after the Democrats.
Say if the only thing Democrats have to offer is we should have done it sooner, if they would have actually helped us with some of the reforms that we passed, we might have been able to generate these surpluses sooner, but they fought tooth and nail against every reform that we put forward. And here we sit, able to say we have a $500 million surplus, able to put that money back into health care, into schools, into reductions for families on their taxes.
Michelle Bachmann always used to, would mispronounce chutzpah. She would say chutzpah. Well, Governor Walker, that was a lot of chutzpah, and Robin Voss, that was double chutzpah.
Yeah, this is the most mendacious outfit I've ever seen. I mean, it's just stunning. This is this is Governor Divide and Conquer, who suddenly is showing up and he's acting like Mr. Partisan. And these people are hard right-wing conservatives and with very strange ideological philosophies. I mean, whatever happened to the Wisconsin idea? I mean, the Wisconsin idea was, in large part, that our legislature should pass laws that are to the benefit of the most amount of people possible. That was the point. And we were using the university and our education system and our professionals in our society to help put this legislation together. Whatever happened to that? Now we pass legislation that benefits only the top echelon in our society. The very wealthiest get the benefit of the legislation and the taxpayer dollars in Wisconsin. This is outrageous.
Well, aren't we basically a local franchise of what's happened to America? Essentially,
well, I fear
with big money politics, it's like a template. There's nothing original in Wisconsin. It's just that they busted unions in Wisconsin, the first of the northern states that they attacked. Unions have been under attack for a long time, but this was all plotted out. And you don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but they talk about this so openly at these ALEC conventions.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I'm not a professional politician. I've spent 32 years in the courtrooms in this state, representing people in the middle class, people trying to get into the middle class, representing them against some of the most powerful, wealthy corporations in the United States. And the thing that struck me most sly when I got into the legislature is that it was very early, maybe within the first couple of weeks of getting into the legislature, I was sitting on the Judiciary Committee, and in trots some of the very same lawyers that I have been fighting in the courtroom for years. And they trot to the front, sit down, and they start giving testimony about bills that would benefit billionaires to the detriment of the rest of us. And I just couldn't believe it. It's the same people and the same wealthy, powerful interests that have been attempting to dominate everyone in the court system for decades. They are running our state. And that's why I'm in this race. I'm in this race for a couple of reasons. One, regular folks don't have any representation down here. Two, people in the middle class are suffering under this. If you want a vibrant economy, you've got to make darn sure that the middle class has disposable income. It's the middle class that does all the buying, all the building of new houses. It generates this economy. If you want a robust economy, you got to make sure the middle class is the beneficiary of policy and that the middle class is growing. This guy with his attack on unions has done the opposite. The middle class is shrinking in Wisconsin and in this country. And, you know, there are a lot of legal theorists very concerned about this. If you look at the history of republics throughout time, beginning with Athens in 400 BC, and you take a look at what's happened to republics over the millennia, they fail because of the tension between the super rich and the poor and the middle class. We've got to get this balanced out. Right now, you know, our framers never dreamed that there would be people with $7 or $8,000 million, people that could drown out the voices of everyone else on television, on radio, and media. This has got to stop, or we won't have a republic.
Well, you know, a lot of people think that handing out a few dollars here or a few dollars there will mollify people. Now, of course, the late, great Marty Beale called the state capital the Marble Whorehouse. You can't say things like that. but if we don't clean up money in Wisconsin politics and then give workers some of their rights back to stand up for themselves, we're never going to have a functioning middle class, are we?
No. And you know, in the attempts, valiant attempts to try to curb money in politics, McCain-Feingold, these bills that have been attempted over time, we need to have that kind of guidance. I mean, this money in politics is drowning out regular folks, and that's not going to lead to stability. That not at all. And it certainly doesn't lead to economic justice.
Here is Scott Walker yesterday talking about his child tax credit.
It could be a new pair of shoes, a winter coat, activity fees at school, or maybe a copay at the doctor at the dentist office. We know sometimes Wisconsin families face challenges when making ends meet, and this new child tax credit, well, we think it can help.
Is his proposal a means tested for people's wages?
Yeah. You know, Wisconsin is 13th in the nation in the cost of child care. That's 13th from the top. On average, one young child in child care costs a family $11,540. I think that's the figure. I don't have it in front of me, but it's between $11,000 and $12,000 a year for one child. So he's going to give them $100. Well, that's not meaningful. We need to do better than that.
Let me ask you overall your thoughts about the speech and where the state's going.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I just he appears to be putting out a very different tune than he has in his other State of the State addresses. Do you think at least in the time that he has left, there's going to be any sort of meaningful production this year? The legislature is hardly meeting, right?
Yeah, this is nothing but a campaign speech. That's all that was yesterday. And he sees the writing on the wall. I mean, we saw what happened in the 10th Senate district just recently.
And did you spend much time there during that campaign?
I did. I obviously, because of my own campaign, I was not able to do doors like I have historically done. You know, I've been involved in this stuff, Sly, since I was 10 years old. I don't know how many tens of thousands of doors I've hit over the years, but so I wasn't able to take a lot of time to do doors, but I certainly was involved in the sense that I was donating to that race, and I was certainly over there campaigning, giving speeches on behalf of her. And we're really proud of her. She's going to be a great senator. But I got to tell you, you know, I can't spell tsunami off the top of my head, but I can smell one. And when you look at what happened in the 10th Senate district, I think that's sending a message to Scott Walker.
I have to say it was a great surprise, because Adam Jarko, I don't agree with him on many things, but he's a pretty bright, hardworking legislator. It's not like Patty Shatner beat a weak candidate.
No, Adam is a practicing attorney on the western side of the state. He's an advocate for his side. There's no question about it. I've known him for years, but he's also an extremist. If you take a look at what he has done in terms of legislation, for instance, I've been pushing a bill called the Save the Deer Bill, CWD, to try to stop the spread of CWD within our deer herd. And in response to that, not only do I not get Republicans to co-sign it, but legislators like Adam Jarko passed legislation that would encourage deer feeding in the backyards of people's homes, which will actually encourage the growth or the spread of CWD.
Do you think that hurt him? Do you think that hurt him?
Well, I think it does, because, I mean, he has authored legislation that allows, you know, really, I'm explaining it wrongly, which really curbs the ability of local governments to zone on lakes. You know, local governments are trying to protect lakes, and the lakes are very important in Wisconsin for tourism and real estate property values and the like. And he's authored legislation that would roll that back, take away local authority to govern lakeshore setbacks and the like. And he's, you know, this is the kind of legislation that he's put out there, and it's far right wing legislation. And I think that hurt him. I think the environment is important to Wisconsin, Wisconsin citizens. It really is.
All right, we'll talk more with Dana Walks, candidate for governor, next here at SliceOffice.com.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
When you hire a lawyer to help you with your personal injury, you want to know that you'll have that lawyer's personal attention. With John and I, that's exactly what you'll get. With many firms, the lawyer that you see in the ad is not the lawyer who's going to be representing you in the case.
One of the differences with Mike and my practice is that when you hire us, you'll have us personally involved in your case.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
We're back with Dana Walks, state representative from Eau Claire. He's running for governor in the state of Wisconsin. I want to ask you about what is going on with the former Government Accountability Board, the Elections Commission now. We had the state Senate in a very partisan vote, and of course they took this vote before Patty Shatner was sworn in, throw out a couple people that have long distinguished careers working with elections right here in an election year. And then yesterday, the Oversight Commission voted to reverse that. What is going on? And can we expect a stable state government here as we go into an election year it's going to be very important that we have refs?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think functionally Voss and Fitzgerald were trying to gut any oversight for this coming election. I mean, trying to get rid of Bell and Haas, I think, is an attempt to throw entropy and chaos and confusion into that governmental authority. I was pleased to see that they voted last night or yesterday afternoon to retain Haas, and that meant that that was a bipartisan vote, that one of the Republican people on the commission voted with the Democrats to retain him. He's had an excellent history. He's been a nonpartisan administrator of that for quite a while. And
I've known I've known Michael Haas for a very long time. He is a professional.
Yeah, I've actually never met him, but he certainly has an excellent record. And you know, to be quite frank, I've been against these changes from the start. I think having the GAB with retired judges in control was the way to go. I mean, this is going to be nothing but a fist fight from the beginning to the end. They've injected more partisan politics. Republicans have injected more partisan politics into our system. You know, it's hard to believe how much we already have, and they inject more.
Well, and then you've got an attorney general throwing out accusations against a reporter's wife, trying to smear Dan Bice's wife in this this very partisan report that the attorney general put out. You know, there were times in Wisconsin where, whether it be Bronson La Follette, a Democratic governor, or Peg Lautenschlager when Jim Doyle was governor, where there was some independence between those offices, right? Peg Lautenschlager did not walk lockstep with Jim Doyle. Shouldn't the attorney general, even when they're the same party as the governor and the legislature, show some independence?
You would hope. You really would. And I'm telling you, Sly, I'm worried about the Republic. I really am. Just when you think it can't get any more partisan, it does. Just when you think that there might be someone that cares about good government, you find out that they don't. And I got to tell you, I'm worried about this. I'm in this race. You know, I was quite happy in the profession I was in before. But when you get down here and you see what a mess this place is, and I have good friends out in Washington, and you see what a mess that is, some of us that aren't normally in the political, you know, directly in the political world in terms of being office holders, some of us have to stand up and do what's right.
Well, you've got to be encouraged that someone like Josh Call, a great young attorney, is stepping up and running for attorney general.
Yeah, I like Josh, and I'm very optimistic and hopeful that he will get elected. He's a stand-up guy. He's a heck of a good lawyer. Practices over at Perkins Coie, and I think he will do Wisconsin fine being the attorney general. He's an excellent stand-up litigator and advocate.
But this whole idea that there's literally, I wasn't happy with everything that Al Franken did, but in his parting speech, he talked about literally what we have right now is a war on the truth. And I want to give you an example of this. This is Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson attacking the FBI. Again, our senior senator attacking the FBI.
Did your informant confirm that these offside meetings took place?
Now, listen, the term secret society comes from Strzok and Page. All I said when I read that, it didn't surprise me because, you know, we are the committee that whistleblowers come to talk about all kinds of problems throughout the federal government. And so I had heard of a group of people within the FBI holding secret offsite meetings. So I was just kind of connecting the dots. So that didn't surprise me when I heard that term. But again, that's Strzok and Page's term, not mine.
Now, a day earlier, he had said this.
What this is all about is further evidence of corruption, more than bias, but corruption at the highest levels of the FBI and that secret society. We have an informant that's talking about a group that were holding secret meetings off-site. There's so much smoke here. There's so much suspicion.
Let's stop there. A secret society, a secret meetings off-site of the Justice Department.
Correct. That's,
and you have an informant saying that.
Yes.
If you're an attorney. If you were cross-examining Senator Johnson, would you kind of relish that?
Well, I don't know what kind of fantasy world these people are living in, and I'm not sure where they would score on the MMPI. I mean, I don't know where this is coming from. This paranoid, just think back a couple of decades. I mean, if 20 years ago you dreamed that Republicans would attack the FBI because they're doing an investigation on what, if any, collusion there was between a presidential candidate and the Russians, why, it's hard to believe we're on the same planet. And now instead of supporting the investigation, they attack the FBI. And I've
been
a lot
Mueller.
Of FBI agents.
And Robert Mueller.
Yeah. I mean, I have known FBI agents for decades. I run into them regularly. We often have retired FBI agents do private investigation work for us after they leave the FBI. These are stand-up men and women who believe in the Constitution of the United States. By and large, by the way, they're Republicans. They're often, I'd say more often than not, they're Republicans, at least the ones I've met.
Yeah, that may change.
Yeah, it may, but I mean, it's stunning what's happened. And I just, it's like they don't care at all about what happens to the United States.
Well, I just think of
our institution.
As I heard Johnson make those remarks and trying to discredit Mueller with a text that was taken out of context with a couple people in their private conversation joking about something, and then him backpedaling the next day. And I think about the smear. I think about Wisconsin's history and what happened in the 1940s and 50s with Joseph McCarthy. And it didn't leave a very good mark on Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's very disappointing. It is just a shame.
I want to ask you about the state of the race. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Mm-hmm. I just realized we're almost out of time. Where is this race right now, and what do you think best distinguishes Dana walks from the other candidates running for the Democratic nomination?
Well, I don't have the name recognition yet of one or the other, possibly two of the other candidates. But I'll tell you, everywhere I speak, we have folks that are falling in with us and are supporting us very robustly. We are campaigning all over the state. We have Pat Kreitel, former congressional candidate, is working in the 7th Congressional District and the 3rd Congressional District full-time, organizing on our behalf. And Dave Obey has endorsed me, as you know. And I think that I'm cautiously optimistic and hopeful that I will win this primary because I can actually beat Scott Walker. I'm an advocate, have been for 32 years. I've got the backbone and the energy to stand up and fight this, and I'm going to win this as far as I can see. It's taking a lot of work. It's a seven-day-a-week thing. I left my law firm in August, haven't practiced law since August. We are working full-time and then some on this. We've outraised all but one of the other campaigns in terms of money. And, you know, there are some folks that float around and say it's not about the money. Well, sorry, it is about money because the research shows that some of the low-information voters are voting based on the last two or three television commercials that they see. We've got to get on TV in a big way or we don't win. And I'm not pointing fingers or throwing stones at the low-information voter. It's hard to keep up in politics when you're working two or three jobs in order to keep a roof over your head. But the functional reality is a lot of people don't have the time to delve into the political universe and research as they used to because they're working like dogs just to survive in this society.
And what
we've got to appeal to those folks.
And what do you think distinguishes yourself briefly from the other candidates as far as being a good governor?
Oh, my entire focus and the entire purpose of this is to represent folks, regular folks. I have spent 32 years in the courtroom representing regular folks against these powerful, wealthy special interest groups, and that sure as heck is needed in Wisconsin at this point because they're running. They are totally running this government, and I am the guy to do that. I've spent my life fighting these groups, and I'm going to get there, and we're going to turn this state around. It's going to mean something. We're going to have collective bargaining again. We're going to roll back this right to work legislation, the prevailing wage legislation that Walker's injected in our society. Because if you want a robust economy, you got to make sure that the middle class has disposable income. And the only way to support the middle class is to make darn sure that we have unions and we have collective bargaining. That's the only way to do it. That's the only thing we can do against these powerful, wealthy, special interest groups is work together. And that's what collective bargaining does.
And that's why I'm endorsing you. Dana Walks, state representative from Eau Claire, candidate for governor. Thanks for coming to SlySoffice.com.
Thanks, Sly. Have a good day.